that can set. Okay. So we'll have our a 1 hour, just be praying for our 1 hour Christmas Eve service. I'd love to see a couple people give their lives to the Lord. Invite some people out, and then we won't have our service Christmas Day. Stay home with your families. But New Year's Day, we'll be hitting it hard. I'm looking forward to New Year's Day in church. Amen? Amen and amen. Does anybody know what session we're on? I'm waiting, Bill. I'm waiting. Hey, thank you, Bill. Session 40. Lordy, lordy, we are on 40. In chapter 5. Don't you love the Word of God? Amen. Aren't you grateful for the power of the Word of God through the Holy Spirit? Man, it's what I've realized as I grow in Him is that the Word of God is inspiration. It's inspirational, and it strengthens me. It's not just I don't read it anymore like, okay, what can I see there to just apply to my life? The Word of God is not for to apply to your life. It's actually for the revelation or revealing of Jesus Christ. Revealing the Son of God, you know, our Savior, our Lord, Him revealing Himself, His goodness. You can walk in His goodness when you know His goodness, right? You can walk in His goodness when you know His goodness. Otherwise, you're trying to apply something that's not yours. But when the Holy Spirit starts revealing Jesus, grace is not an application of something. Grace is a person. Jesus Christ, amen? So Moses brought the law, and this has nothing to do with session 40, but Moses brought the law, but Jesus brought grace and truth, amen? His grace and His truth. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Man, if anything, I love His word more and more. I love His word more and more. How about you? And so we're at John chapter 5, and last week we had spoke about this verse here, verse 27 of the New American Standard Bible. And He gave him authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man. Remember, we talked all last, our whole service about the Son of Man and what it meant last week, if you were here, about the Son of Man and what that meant. Remember, we went back to even Daniel chapter 7 when it talked about the Ancients of Days and being presented before Him, the Son of Man, which was talking about Jesus Christ, the Christ. And so let's continue on verse 28, and it says, and do not be amazed about this. So this is Jesus talking. He says, and do not be amazed about this, for a time is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear His voice. That sounds good, but for some people, hearing His voice, unfortunately, it won't be good. He'll say about it. For some people, it won't be good. That's unfortunate. But for those who know Him, amen, hear His voice. It says, for a time is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and will come out. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life. Those who committed the bad deeds to a resurrection of judgment. So let's talk a little bit about that. I want to talk about this resurrection of life, because in the time of Jesus with the Pharisees and Sadducees, the Sadducees refused to go beyond. We're talking about the Word of God now, the Old Testament, right? The Law and the Prophets. We're talking about Genesis through Malachi, right? The Sadducees refused to go beyond the written Torah, the first five books of the Bible. Did you know that? And thus, unlike the Pharisees, denied the immortality of the soul, bodily resurrection after death. So the Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection, and the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrections. Do you remember in the books of Acts, even Paul knew this. He started an argument, matter of fact. And I forget which emperor or king he was in front of, but there was Pharisees and Sadducees there. And he says, I'm here because in the hope of the resurrection. Well, as soon as he said that, the Pharisees and the Sadducees got in this big old argument, and Paul accomplished exactly what he wanted to right then. He made that group of people that brought these accusations against him look crazy. As soon as he said I'm here because of the hope of the resurrection of life. And so during this time, understanding that Jesus, there was a group that believed in it, and they did not. Let me just, so that's the first point about the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Second point, what about good deeds and bad deeds? Well, in the Greek, when I looked at this, it speaks more of being good or evil. Man, you are in Christ or not in Christ. And I've come to learn that if you just go by people's actions, hey, that doesn't say whether they're born again or not. I've come to realize there's people who don't know about his goodness, who've had bad doctrine, who have given up, I'm telling you, they're born again, but they've given up, they've become downcast, and a lot of it has to do with teaching. I'm telling you, what you believe is going to determine the direction of your life. You can love Jesus with all your heart, but if you can't be convinced that he loves you, that he's there for you, or that he's not judging you, that you pass from death to life, if you think he's always judging you, you're going to become discouraged, and you're going to give up, and you're going to give in. All the more your heart, you love him. You know he's real. You know Jesus is the Christ. You know he's the only way to eternal life, but yet you could have this wrong doctrine that'll absolutely have you walking a defeated life. People can look at you and say, man, you're not born again. Man, you don't know him. And that person would say, man, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I don't. I was thinking, I have a grandmother who was Church of Christ. I mean, this gal was a saint. I've mentioned her before. Loved the Lord. Helping. I mean, she just, and I would tell her, and I'd say, Grandma, aren't you looking forward to going to heaven? She says, if I make it. Well, why did she say that? It's because of what she was taught. It was because of the doctrine that she was taught, that if your works are enough, if you do enough good deeds, if you do enough good works, you'll make it. But I'm telling you, Paul says, the just shall live by faith. That's what woke me up that 15 years ago or whatever, realizing the just shall live by faith. And when I started realizing that he loved me because I put my faith in him, then my deeds begin to change. Then my heart became forward. But if you have a doctrine or your heart's not encouraged or strengthened in him, you can live a life that looks contrary deed-wise, and all the more be born again. As my grandmother would say, and my grandfather would say, I hope. And I'd say, Grandma, if you're not going to heaven, I don't think anybody is. But it was what she was taught. So talking about these deeds, good deeds and bad deeds. In the Greek, it speaks more of being good or evil, who you are at the core. Are you born again? Do you love him, saints? It also entails the work, good deeds, as a noun. So it's not an action, a person, place, or thing. Amen? You have those good deeds in you. Do you walk in them? Because that's who you are. I learned when I was younger, I would do these good deeds because that's what I had to do. And it wasn't genuine because I was doing that out of works, right? But now that I'm walking in his love and his grace and his mercy and his strength and his peace and his rest, it just comes forward from me. I want to share his love. I want the right words to come out of my mouth. I want to be that good husband. I want to be that good father. I want to be that good uncle or whatever it is. It's who I am. Those deeds come out of my rest in him. Amen. Amen and amen. And then Jude talks about who are these people. We're talking about evil deeds. This Jude, have you read the book of Jude? That's a rough book. He's getting serious. He's coming against some specific individuals, false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing within the body of Christ. So in Jude chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and it was also about these people that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord has come with many thousands of his holy ones. He's talking about the future. And he's talking into the future. Can you imagine that even Enoch, I don't know how many thousands of years ago, was it 4,000, 4,500 years ago, 5,000 years ago, that Enoch walked the earth but yet prophesied about the coming of Jesus Christ the second time. And it was also about this people that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord has come with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly, right? Ungodly? There's no ungodly here, right? If you're not born again, I mean, are you the righteousness of of God in Christ Jesus. If you're ungodly here, we can pray for you. We can lead you in a confession of faith. You can receive the Holy Spirit. You can walk out of here born again, a brand new creature. Amen? So when it says execute judgment upon all, well, we know that it says in Hebrews that when he comes again for you and I, it won't be for sin or judgment, but for revealing of righteousness. Righteousness. To execute, but he's talking about a different person. They're talking about these deeds. To execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in their ungodly way, and all of their harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. This is interesting. I just want to say this. This next scripture, 16, it says, these are the grumblers finding fault. Wow. It didn't say the adulteress. It didn't say the liars. It could have said a lot of different things. But it said this, these are the grumblers finding fault. Always falling fault, always judging others, always slandering others. That's the world we live in today. Saints, we've talked about it before. Let's not that be in the church. We don't realize when that's in the church, that destroys a body. That destroys people. The accuser of the brethren is Satan. Says these are the grumblers. Man, I don't want to be around grumblers. I don't mind helping grumblers, but I don't want to live around grumblers. Amen. I want to be around people or teach people to be thankful, to be loving and kind, being opposite of what grumblers do, because grumblers, that stuff, it spreads like that yeast Paul talked about, like a yeast that'll spread through individuals. It'll get into their heart. It'll put a seed of complaining, of grumbling, finding fault, of unthankfulness, and that thing will try to sprout up. And what does it lead to? More grumbling, more complaining. Amen. If an individual is struggling with being down or depression, you know, the biggest thing that can get you and I out of that is an attitude of thanksgiving. Man, when we practice thanksgiving, when we say thank you that you hear my prayers, and we start standing in faith, not by what we see, it's amazing that depression and those things will be far from our home. They'll be far from our lives. We've talked about it before. The enemy does not want to be around anybody that's worshiping and praising God, praying in the Spirit, thanking Jesus. No, the enemy looks for the grumbler, the complainer, the fault finder. The enemy will come in and say, oh, I've got an environment I can work in. I don't want to have an environment in my home that the enemy has any comfort in. I want him to say when he comes near my home, let's get out of here. Yeah. There's no place for us. There's no environment here. See, for the enemy to operate, there has to be an environment. If there's an environment for the enemy to operate, that's where they feel at rest. That's where they feel at peace. That's where they can sow bad seeds from that individual group into other people and want that to expand. They want that death to expand. But where there's life and thanksgiving and love and worshiping and honoring of God, then it expands life. The other one breathes and expands death. How about you? I want to live in life. Like I've told my granddaughter, she'd be scared at night. I said, don't worry, there's no boogeyman. There's no enemy that wants any part of this home. And I say that, not to be arrogant. And then she said, why? I said, because I'm here. Because I'm here. This is Papa's house. Papa has authority here. That's right. What I say happens here, and I'm talking about as far as spiritually, there's no breeding ground here. There's no environment for the things of the enemy to spread and grow. Amen? So just telling her night after night or night, no, but they go by here, they go, shh, don't wake him up. Because of who I am, and who you are in Christ. What kind of environment are you cultivating in your home? It starts in our home, saints. And before I go any further, just any further, I just feel like the Lord wants us to stop right there. Just think about that. Let the Lord speak to you and say, what kind of environment? And the environment that you, where does it start? With what comes out of your mouth. As I've grown with the Lord will put a gate for it. Don't say that. He's still teaching me and learning and growing. Even the way I say something, what's the motive behind it, right? You know what I'm talking about? What's the tone of voice I'm saying it in? Those things matter. We act like we can do that for year after year after year after year. We don't realize that when we're doing that to one another, there's a little guard that'll go up then. A little area of the heart of that individual, whether it be a wife or a husband or a good friend or somebody, that there'll be a wall to go up, not so they don't have to endure that. But when we're speaking those things of love and His goodness and His kindness, the Lord will start with the other individual, that wall will start coming down. Then we have true fellowship. Whether it be with a wife or a husband, we have true communion. It's all about the environment that we're making in our home. See, in that environment, that's where the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit come, it just grows. It's like this, you look at the garden before Adam and Eve, right, before they fell. That garden was perfect. There wasn't any weeds. It was perfect. See, our heart is a garden, right? And the seed was cultivated. The seed, the things we're saying, the things we're allowing our minds to think, that's what our garden looks like. And I'm saying we're all, God is all, He's all growing us and teaching us. We belong to Him, amen? There's no condemnation in that at all. But He wants every area of our lives, the environment, amen, to be a place where the Holy Spirit's welcome. The enemy says, we're out of here. Amen. That's good stuff by the Lord. That's good stuff by the Lord. Isn't He good? He's faithful. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Just thought it was interesting there. He's talking about these ungodly people, and these are the grumblers, finding fault, following their own lust. That's just the works of the flesh. You can find him in Galatians 5. In the book of Ephesians, it talks about the different lust of the flesh. It says they speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. Flattering. For gaining an advantage. See, that's what's so important now to have in this day and age, for us to have a discernment, the gift of discernment, a spirit of discernment, so we can know what's really the meaning behind things that we're listening to on news. I don't care what type of news it is. Or when we're with friends or people around, I want to have a discerning spirit. If there's anything we need now, today, I'm telling you, saints, is discernment. Amen? And it's for us. It's for us, discernment. Amen. Let's continue. Verse 17, it says, but you, beloved, ought to... Then he goes to the us peepins. You know, I told Steve, there's us, and then Chino, the plural for us is what? Usins. So now he's getting to the usins. But he said, but you, beloved, say beloved. Beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers, following after their own ungodly lust. These are the ones who cause division. See, that's right back to the grumbling and the complaining. See, they'll cause divisions. Worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. They'll be able to speak good. They'll be able to tell you intellectually what's right or wrong, or what it sounds right or wrong, but they'll be devoid of the Spirit of God. Amen. You can have a church, and I'm not against any church, but you can have a church that has a lot of people. Did you know that? But be devoid of the Spirit. They may give you things that you need to apply to your life. They'll tell you things that be like, hey, this, you know, like a pep rally. They'll tell you those things that'll get your flesh fired up. that'll try to get you, you know, to get you going on your flesh, but it will do nothing to your soul, and your spirit is devoid of the Spirit of God. But it says, but you, beloved, say beloved. I do that so I just know you're all awake. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You know what praying in the Holy Spirit is? I'm serious, it's praying in tongues. It could be groaning in the Spirit. There's just, there's different types of praying in the Spirit. He says, but you, he says, he warns about those that are, he said, hey, I wanted to write you. If you look at the beginning of this chapter, he says, hey, I wanted to write you and just to encourage you and to be joyful in the things of God. He says, but the Spirit of God changed my directions, and I needed to warn you about what's creeping into the church, or what tries to creep in your home, or what tried to creep into your doctrine, or what tried to creep into your psyche, or things that will allow in and say, oh, that's okay. Things that we talk about, like fault finding or pointing fingers at people or whatever, things of that nature, that's exactly what Jude is talking about. Now, don't get me wrong. There's times we have to stand up for righteousness. We have to declare the truth. Amen. But what he's talking about here, he's talking within the body of Christ, with us. And so he continues. These are the ones who cause division, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, keep yourself in the love of God. So what do we need to do in this day and age? Keep ourselves in the love of God, looking forward. Let me stop there. How do we keep ourselves in the love of God, by the way? This is what I've learned. I don't allow resentment, unforgiveness. Amen. Those things that will try to get into my heart and soul. It's what they call a burr under your saddle, right? Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself around people that are expressing, walking, declaring, living the love of God. And then it says, looking forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Looking forward to the mercy. Amen. To when the rapture, right? When he calls us up, that could be any minute. Did you know that? Or it could be 100 years. I don't know. I don't know when it's going to be. He does. But I know that I'm eagerly anticipating the return of Christ. So when that trumpet sounds, right, and the dead in Christ rise, or we're caught up in the air with him to ever be with the Lord, I know one thing. I said, I knew it. I knew you were coming any minute. I've been waiting. I've been looking forward to this, Lord. I wasn't caught in surprise. I wasn't sleeping on the job. How many know that he still loves those sleeping on the job, so to speak? Amen. Looking forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Amen. And it says, and have mercy on some. This is good. And have mercy on some. And have mercy on, this is verse 22, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Well, we got to be merciful to those who doubt. You know, those that are doubt, how do we help them? We encourage them. Encourage them. We help strengthen them. We encourage them in the Lord. And then verse 23, save others, snatching them out of the fire. Wow, that's quite a statement. Snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. See, that reminds me of Galatians chapter 6, where it says, help those that have fallen down. What we would say modern day, those that have backslidden. But it says, but be careful lest you be tempted. So it's the same thing. When you go to help those, make sure that you don't fall into the same trap that they're in. That's what he's saying there. Amen. Snatching him out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to protect you from stumbling. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Who's going to protect us from stumbling? Amen. Saints. Gina, Eddie, amen. Marcus, Who's going to help us from stumbling? Jesus. Now to him who is able to protect you from stumbling. Did you know we don't have... Now we all fail in many ways. But we don't have to stumble. When I'm talking about stumble, meaning falling backwards, meaning the ground that the Lord has given you, things that he's given you victory, you don't have to go back to that, do we? We don't have to go back to grumbling and complaining. We don't have to go back to addiction. We don't have to go back to depression. We don't have to go back to resentment and unforgiveness. Amen? And it's Jesus is the one building ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, trusting him who's able to protect us from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, hallelujah, blameless with great joy. Did you hear that? Blameless with great joy. So going back to that, the deeds then. So when we stand before him and it says blameless with great joy, is that going to be because I never made any mistakes, never struggled, never sinned again? No, it's because he is my righteousness. I put all my trust in the faith and the finished work of the cross. Amen? That's how you and I are going to stand before him, hallelujah, blameless with great joy. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! With great joy! And people love the Lord Jesus. They're sincere and love him. And they're not looking forward to, they're scared to see in the Lord. It's because they don't realize that it's not upon your efforts, amen? It's upon your putting your trust in him for his righteousness to change you. I'm telling you, the blameless thing has to do with our efforts or our what we want to do, we will never, ever have a heart. I'm sorry, I just saw somebody. I'm sorry. Can you stand up in the back, sir? Can you guys just turn around and say hi to the guy in the back real quick? Merry Christmas, buddy. God bless you. Thank you for coming in. Love you. Now, Steve, you've seen that movie, haven't you? Okay. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I couldn't help it, man. I see this big guy walking. It's like, that's Buddy the Elf. I'd forgotten that Buddy the Elf was visiting the youth tonight. And he's a believer. He goes to another church in Prescott Valley, but... Yeah, isn't that awesome? God's doing wonderful things in the youth, by the way. Pray for Richie and Chamonix, man. God, I'm just so proud of them. I mean, I knew them when they just came to the Lord in this church those many years ago. Man, God has changed them. Man, and God has much more for them. I can tell you that. Amen. Back to where we were. Just want to read that again. Now to him who's able to protect you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy. Let me say this, number three, and then we'll wrap it up here. Point number three here. Our faith, our doctrine is based upon six things that I could think of. Maybe you can correct me afterwards if you think there's something else or I'm wrong. Number one, Jesus is God born in the flesh. Do you agree with that? Yes. Number two, Jesus lived a sinless life. Yes. Amen. Number three, Jesus died for sins of the world. Yes. Number four, Jesus was raised from the dead. Yes. Number five, Jesus is coming back for his people. Yes. And number six, there is no other way to obtain eternal life. I am the way, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This point six is a stumbling block, a big stumbling block in the world today. It really is. They'll say it's you're being a bigot, you're being hateful. But actually, it's the most loving thing we could do to tell them the truth, that there's no other way. Even Paul says, how can they be saved unless they hear the word of God? And how can they hear the word of God unless somebody's sent? And so speaking the word of God with love, the truth that Jesus made a way for you, amen, to have eternal life, to have your sins forgiven. There's only one way, but it is a stumbling block nowadays. It's a point of people being offended, but nevertheless, we have to declare it. Let me just say this. See, in the day of grace, God's grace in saving and changing us, there is a heaven and a hell. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven. But thank God, if you know him as your Savior, you are not going to hell. Amen. You can have confidence, rest, peace, and joy. I remember many, many years ago, I believed in the Lord. I was married to my wife, but because I was so caught in legalism and couldn't measure this barometer, this bar I had, that I remember one time in the middle, I don't know what was going on, but in the middle of the night, just coming forward on my bed saying, I do not want to go to hell. But everything I was doing then to not go to hell was all on my own efforts. Quit drinking, smoke, and chew. Don't smoke, drink, or chew, or go with girls that do. Right? So I remember I had this journal. I would start writing these things like, if I could just quit smoking, I'd have it made. If I could just quit. So I just started looking at all my sins. I became sin conscience. But once I became righteous conscience, once I started renewing my mind with the truth. And I had gone through all these deliverance sessions. People had buckets here. Throw up in this if you need to. And I'm not saying there isn't deliverance, but I tell you what I needed was to know the truth, because it's the truth that sets you free. And so when the gospel of grace and the truth began to be revealed to me and I received it, when I finally humbled myself and said, man, Lord, I've tried everything else. I'm going to try this strange message that I'm wondering if it's hypocrisy. I remember me and my wife talking about it. I said, this may be hypocrisy, but I've tried everything else and I love the Lord. I want to change. And as the message of grace began to impact my life, the things that I was struggling with began to break off. And some of them, I would just one day say, what happened with that? I don't even struggle with that anymore. What happened? I didn't even have any experience in the Lord. I didn't throw up in a bucket. I didn't have anybody pray for me. It was just the power of the truth that just permeated me, my mind, came alive in my spirit, and all of a sudden I just began to grow like a tree planted by rivers of water. Yeah. Hallelujah. How about you? Yeah. And that's what the grace of God does. See, there was a time when I would hear that grace, I would hear the word grace, and my flesh would cringe. It would. And because I always equated grace with sloppy agape. With you can't be getting away with doing those things, but actually it's the grace of God that sets you free from those things. See, religion and the enemy always makes everything backwards. He makes his grace to appear like it's actually a false doctrine, or you're going to actually lead you into further sin. No, we don't need any help to be in further sin, right? We do that very well. But when you understand his grace and his mercy, when your identity becomes in God your Father, Jesus being the firstborn among many brethren, the first fruits, amen? The first Adam is why we live in sin. The second Adam, Jesus, when we give him our lives, is why we become righteous in God's eyes like Jesus. That blew me away too. I was like, that's got to be false. I thought, man, that's heresy. Don't even speak that. And now I realize the power of the gospel, not that there's not things in my flesh, my soul realm that God's still not growing, but in my spirit, man, God sees me the same as he sees Jesus. If he doesn't, how can his Holy Spirit live in me? If he doesn't, how could I go to heaven? If he doesn't, how can I be before him someday with great confidence and joy? But when we realize the power of the cross, and the power of grace, man, it makes us want to be more like our Father. It makes us want to be more like our big brother Jesus. It makes us want to walk in the same footsteps as he did. It makes us to want to be like him. And it makes us realize, Lord, you're the one that provides my needs. You're one that takes care of me. You're the one that leads me beside still waters. You're the one that gives me bounty. Then we trust him. We walk in rest and peace, and we give it to him. Then our ulcers go away. Our depression goes away. Our hypertension goes away simply by the truth of the gospel of grace. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this Christmas season and what it means, really. Lord, we pray that this message of grace and truth will go around the world in this day and this age before you come again. Lord, we thank you that you're setting people free in Iran. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're setting people free in China, that you're setting people free in Russia with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you that you're setting people free in America, Father. I thank you, God, that you're setting people free in Chino Valley with the gospel of grace, with the love of Jesus Christ. And so we thank you and we love you for that, God. Thank you, Lord, for our hearts being wide open, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Fill us afresh and anew. Fresh and anew, Father, in this Christmas season, Father, with great joy and bounty in you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Aren't you glad you came to church? I did. I sure am.